Hello and welcome to another podcast from the Wicketgate magazine. And we continue with the series, What Saith the Scriptures? And in this podcast we'll look at the Epistle to the Ephesians. Now the Epistle to the Ephesians divides itself into two main parts, the doctrinal and theological section of the first three chapters, and the practical and ethical section of the last three. The great topic of the Epistle to the Ephesians is the eternal purposes of God manifest in Christ and his church. What Isaac Watts wrote about creation, Lord, how thy wonders are displayed, where'er I turn mine eye, could be easily applied to Paul's epistle to the Ephesians with regard to the glory of God in the church of his Son. Wherever the reader turns his eye, it is the destiny or the dignity or the calling or the purpose of the church of Christ that is displayed. So the many titles and designations that are used of it, it is the purchased possession, an holy temple in the Lord, the habitation of God through the Spirit, the whole family in heaven and earth, it is set forth as the bride of Christ and the body of Christ, and it is that in which God would show forth the exceeding greatness of his power. As John Calvin so rightly and so warmly expresses it, Paul's language in Ephesians concerning the church is to rouse the Ephesians' hearts to gratitude and to set them all aflame. In a day when the church of Christ has lost its identity, in the estimation of some professing Christians, a devoted reading of the epistle to the Ephesians would be a precious exercise. The letter is encyclical. That is, a circular letter that was designed to be passed around the churches. It is addressed to the Ephesian church primarily, but not exclusively. This was normal practice in the apostolic age. The account of the founding of the church is contained in Acts chapter 19, and from that account it will be seen that the church was found midst toil and tribulation and tumults of her war. The apostolic brand under Paul followed the normal course, first of all going into the synagogue and preaching the gospel there. When oppositions arose, the young church removed to the school of Tyrannus, and there Paul ministered and preached for 2 whole years. Special miracles were wrought by Paul, which resulted in an uprising from which some of Paul's companions barely escaped with their lives. Paul himself could write to the Corinthians about having fought with wild beasts at Ephesus, but the very establishment of the church under such circumstances is but a vindication of its chief topic, that all those who make up the church of Christ were chosen in him before the foundation of the world, that they should be to the praise and the glory of his grace. Following on from such mighty statements of grace to the church, it follows that the next chapters would contain an account of what God requires from the church. So the first opening statement of chapter 4, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called. That worthy walk is then spelled out in 12 different ways, endeavouring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace, the exercise of every spiritual gift and calling for the edifying of the whole body, the old walk given up for the new walk, the old man overthrown for the new man, the old habits set aside for the new habits. In chapter 5 we have the great husband-wife passage, and in chapter 6 one of the most stirring portions of God's word concerning the Christian's warfare and the whole armour of God. All in all, the epistle to the Ephesians is to show us the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe. Chapter 1 and verse 19. This was another podcast from the Wicketgate magazine, which can be found at www.wicketgate.co.uk. Thanks for listening. Bye.